Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Yud-Chet, Chapter 18. In the previous parak, Yirmiyahu admonished the people to stop carrying on Shabbat and step up their religious observance. He told them that this is the time to change their ways, the decree can be averted, the choice is theirs. This parak also discusses a choice that the people have, which would seem like the parak is set early in Yirmiyahu's prophetic life, probably during the time of Yoshiyahu. This parak begins another ma'aseh simli, a symbolic action, as Yirmiyahu is told to go to a potter's house and watch him do his work on the wheel, and he would receive his prophecy there. Actually, if you've ever visited Jerusalem, you may have come across Chutzot HaYotzer artist colony, right outside the old city, near the Sultan's Pool. This very well may have been the place where the ancient potters did their work as well. Yirmiyahu finds the potter in the middle of making a clay vessel. The vessel is in the process of being formed when the potter suddenly decides that he does not like how it's coming out. With a flick of his hand, he crushes the wet clay, pounds it into a lump, and then he begins to form it again into a vessel that will hopefully find more favor in the potter's eyes. As Yirmiyahu watches the scene unfold, he receives his prophecy. HaKiyotzer hazeh lo uchal lasot lachem Bei Israel, says Hashem to Yirmiyahu in verse 6, am I not just like this potter? Could I not do the same thing to you, Bnei Israel? Noam Hashem, says God. Hine kachomer biyad hayotzer, kein atem biyadi, Bei Israel. Just like clay in the hands of a potter, so too are you in my hands, Bnei Israel. In this interpretation of the potter's actions, Hashem explains to Yirmiyahu that just like the potter has total control over the wet clay, so too Hashem has total control over the destiny of the Jewish people. He does not have to offer them any chance to do teshuvah. The second they do not find favor in his eyes, the second they sin, it is his prerogative to crush them, to destroy them completely, and begin again molding a new nation that is more compliant and pleases him. The clay, in this interpretation, has no selfhood. It was formed for a specific purpose, to be a strong and beautiful vessel. If there is even one flaw, it's not worth continuing to form it, and actually it will explode anyway in the kiln. The potter's right to start again. The potter decides when the vessel is worth continuing to be formed. The destiny of the clay is completely in his hands. You may have noticed that we draw on these words for an important piyut, a liturgical poem that we say on Yom Kippur night after Kol Nidre. We say to Hashem on this most auspicious of nights, Ki hine kachomer biyad hayotzer, just like clay in the hands of a potter, Bertzoto marchiv ubertzoto makatzer, he can widen it, he can shorten it, he can manipulate it in any way that he wants. Kein anachnu biyadcha chesed notzer, we are like that in your hands, Hashem, the one with everlasting kindness. Labrit habet va'al tefen layetzer, look at the covenant and don't look at the accuser. Drawing on Yirmiyahu's imagery, we recognize our position vis-a-vis God as weak and completely in Hashem's control. We know that He can expand us or weaken us at will. We beg Hashem, as He is writing out our decree for the coming year, not to look too closely at what we deserve, to remember the brit that He made with us and only face us with kindness. This seems like a straightforward prophecy of God's total control. However, the next psukim, 7 to 10, contradict the first interpretation. And then, and Hashem offers a second interpretation of the potter. Says Hashem in verse 7, Rega adaber al hagoy va'al mamlacha lintosh v'lintotz v'lavid. I could speak for a moment about a nation or about a kingdom to completely destroy and uproot them. And then in verse 8, V'shav hagoy hahu mirato, Asher dibarti alav, v'nichamti al ra'a asher chishavti lasot lo. This nation could change, and they can stop doing the evil that they had been doing, and therefore I will also take back the bad decree that I had been planning to do to them. And then the converse is true as well. Rega daber al hagoy v'al mamlacha livnot v'lintoa. I could have a thought about a nation that they are going to be built. They deserve it. It's a reward for their good deeds. And then in verse 10, Va'asara beinai, they go, they change, and they start doing evil. Levilti shmo bekoli, they stop listening to my voice. V'nichamti ala tova, asher amarti, lahativoto, and I will take back the good that I said I was going to do to them. In this interpretation, Hashem says that it is not he who is in total control of the destiny of Bnei Israel, but it is them. If there is a decree against them because of their bad actions, they have time to change their ways, and Hashem will respond by changing the decree. Going back to the symbolic action, in this interpretation, it is Bnei Israel, not Hashem, who is the potter, and they're forming themselves. If they don't like how they are coming out, if they, the vessel, which is their deeds, their peoplehood, if it doesn't find favor in their own eyes because they realize that they're not living up to Hashem's expectations of themselves, they can change it. They can mold the clay again. They can mold themselves again and thereby also change their destiny, because Hashem will only act in direct accordance with what the people deserve and give them a chance to change their ways. These two different interpretations, these diametrically opposed interpretations of the same event, represent a crucial message in how Hashem runs the world and what is the role of the prophet. System A, the first one, where Hashem is the potter, is the true system of God's judgment. People exist in this world only by God's pleasure, and if they are not fulfilling their purpose, then like the clay, they should not continue to exist. However, System B is the system, the second one that Hashem told Yirmiyahu, is the system that God in his kindness chose to use to run the world through the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, the 13 principles of mercy that we invoke over and over during Slichot and on Yom Kippur. He gives us a chance to fix our ways and sends us prophets to nudge us in the right direction, to warn us that the decree will eventually be meted out if we don't change. After God's Erech HaPayim, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Noseh Avon V'Fesha V'Chatza'a V'Nakeh, after God is slow to anger and holds on to our sin and gives us time and forgives us, if we still hang on precariously to our sins, then we are our own potter. We have molded our destiny and we have created our future. But our clay will be wet for a long time. There is so much time to change, says Yirmiyahu to the people. Look at the potter. That's not how Hashem chooses to run the world. He keeps the clay wet endlessly, responding to our actions instead of dictating our future. He allows us to be our own potter, allows us to mold ourselves. He doesn't punish us right away after we sin. This is really the answer to Yirmiyahu's question back in Parak 11 and 12. He begs Hashem not to be so slow to anger, to destroy the people of Anatot who attempted to kill him without giving them more chances. This would verify Yirmiyahu's nevuah to everyone else. You see, you sin, you try to kill the prophet, Hashem is going to get you. Yirmiyahu is ostensibly asking Hashem to run the world with the first system. You do bad, you get punished. And then everyone will know that the prophet is real and they'll change their ways. Hashem responds that he will not do it, even though it is fair. And even though actually this system would help other people, they would see the veracity of the prophet's words. The concept of rachamim, of kindness, of mercy, of system too, is so integral to the way Hashem in his infinite kindness chose to run the world that he will not change it, even when the people sorely deserve to be punished. You may have noticed that the language Hashem uses to describe System B is reminiscent of Yirmiyahu's job description from Parak Aleph, chapter 1. There, Hashem told Yirmiyahu that he was being chosen lintosh v'lintots, la'avid la'ros, b'livnot v'lintoa, to destroy, to uproot, and also to build and to plant. At the time when we read this statement back in Parak Aleph, we didn't know if Yirmiyahu had to destroy the people because they've already sinned and then he would rebuild them, or if it was a choice. He could either destroy them or build them. What we see here in chapter 18 is that Yirmiyahu's role will be dependent on what the people do and how they receive his prophecy. If they constantly and consistently ignore his messages, then they will be destroyed according to their own actions, and then only afterwards they will be rebuilt. But if they look at his prophecy as a chance, as a gift for them to be molders of their own destiny and a savior from a terrible future that may await them, then Yirmiyahu does not have to be a destroyer at all. They will see his prophecy as constructive criticism and will use it to build themselves. Again, the choice is theirs, and in a way, they are potters daughters of Uriel's clay as well, because their reaction to his prophecy will determine his role and purpose. His words are put to the test. Jeremiah's words are put to the test in verse 11 and 12. Jeremiah gives over the prophecy to the people, and he says to them, "Ata emorna el ish Yehuda v'al yoshvei Yerushalayim le'mor kol amar Hashem, hine anochi yotzer aleichem ra'a." B'choshev aleichem machshava, says Yirmiyahu to the people, Hashem is yotzer, which is the word for a potter, but creating bad thoughts against you. There's a decree against you, and he's thinking bad thoughts according to what you deserve. Shuvuna, ish midarko, return from your bad ways. Midarko hara'a, v'heitivu darkchem ma'alaleichem, and change your ways for good. Invoking system two. Yirmiyahu spells out to them that they have a choice. They do not need to continue following along with their own bad actions. They can change. The people's reaction, though, is the opposite of what Yirmiyahu expected of them in Pasuk Yud Bet. They say, Va'amru no'ash. We can't. We're depressed. Ki acharei machshvotenu ne'lech. We will just continue to follow in the ways that we've been going on, and each person will follow the bad ways of their heart. The people probably don't use that exact words, but what they're saying to Yirmiyahu is, we can't change. We really can't. Like Carol Dweck's fixed mindset, the people say that they are incapable of change. Their deeds are just too much a part of who they are. Yirmiyahu urges them that it's not true. They need to have a growth mindset, believe that they can be different. The stakes are so high, but they can only say, no, Ash, we give up. We're incapable of change. In the rest of the parak, Yirmiyahu expands on the evil that is coming, imploring them to change their ways. But instead of taking his words as an opportunity, as a gift to them, they turn on him as the messenger of destruction. In Pasuk Yud Chet, verse 18, it says, Vayumru l'chu v'nachshavu v'al Yirmiyahu machshavot. Let's plot against Yirmiyahu. Let's think bad thoughts against him. Ki lo tovad Torah mikohen, ve'etza michacham, ve'davar minavi. It can't be that our priests and our wise men and our other prophets could all be wrong. L'chu v'nakeyu b'lashon, ve'al nakshiva al kol devarav. Let's hit him with our words. Let's undermine him. And let's not listen at all to what he has to say. The people would rather hear the messages they are getting from their other leaders, their wise men, their priests, and their false prophets who tell them that nothing bad will happen to them. There's no reason to change their ways. They can stay exactly the way they are. A message that fits perfectly into their fixed mindset. So instead of taking the opportunity to be their own potter and mold their own destiny that Yirmiyahu is offering them, they try to shut him down and kill him to stop his prophecy. Thank you for studying together the Eloi Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.